Hi, I'm Amy. I'm a compulsive eater and a food addict. And I am grateful to have been in this program and working it for, I just Googled 12,731 days. And like, that's a lot of days. You know, it's basically it'll be 35 years come July. So, but you know, the days are really where it's at because you don't get to the next one without getting through the first one. And you know, today is really where it's at, you know, and it all falls from there. I was so moved listening to our invitation to you tonight, because it's really still, you know, where it is. It's like, you know, here we are and we welcome you. And, you know, those of us who've been around, we're welcomed back every meeting, you know, because I don't necessarily all these years in. And I see some other folks I know have been in for a number of years. We don't need this meeting any less just because we've made it through some number of days already. You know, for most of my days, the food does not grip me the same way it did. You know, for most of the time, I have that neutrality, where it's pretty easy. But you know, there are days, there are moments, and usually those things are not about, you know, what can I find to eat or, you know, but usually it's more like I am in such crisis mode for whatever reason. It could be losing the car keys, or it could be, you know, a loved one having cancer. Just some days my resistance is down and I am in emotional agony due to the situation. And like I said, it can be where the car keys. And the thought comes, what will fix this? I need an immediate fix. And then I have to say, not the food. You know, not today, Satan. And you know, and because it's still there as an option that comes bubbling up through an emotional ooze to say, oh, I've got an idea. Let me tell you. You know that place that you've passed and you've never been in? It's there today too. And I bet it's open, you know, and you just have to go, really? Really, today, that's what you're going to tell me about brain? That's really interesting, but I think we'll pass. And I'm grateful that the ruts of the wagon wheels are for going forward towards being abstinent. So it is a little easier than it was the first time I couldn't find my car keys in abstinence, or the first time that somebody had an actual, you know, honest to God crisis in program. But, you know, I am not cured. And that's the basis that I understand that we come to is that, you know, we get better. And a lot of the time it gets easier. And most days, you know, my issues are around, you know, can I be a nice person today? Right? Can I react to other people just being their normal people-y self with some kind of equanimity? You know, or am I going to react badly because somebody else loads the dishwasher wrong. I mean, it's usually something like that, you know, cuts me off in traffic. Although that person, I may react badly, but that person generally doesn't really know. It's my near and dear ones that know that I think they don't load the dishwasher correctly, or they parked the car a foot from where I think it ought to be parked, or, you know, pick some small deviation. And those are the things that, you know, the rubber really meets the road as to whether my recovery is in good working order that particular day, or whether I'm, you know, sliding through thinking that, you know, slightly irksome, irritable behavior is somehow okay today. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that that's where it is today, that I am not, you know, slipping in and out of misery, because, you know, 35 years ago, you know, when I say it will be 35 years ago, that means that 35 years ago today, I was in misery. You know, I weighed close to 100 pounds more than I do today. My top weight is 100 pounds more than I am today. But I was like just an emotional wreck. Yes, I ate all the time. And I ate, you know, moderately weirdly. And I ate, you know, I mean, the stuff of my eating is pretty average for the kind of things I've heard in these rooms. So I don't really need to tell the story too much other than to say, you know, I ate enough and, you know, that I maintained and was going to gain. I came into program a year before I came back and stayed. And I heard two things in those meetings. One of which was that there was a woman who said that what she wanted was for her life to be as vivid as her food. And what she meant was her abstinent meals were still perfectly vivid to her. And she wanted the life in between those meals to be equally shiny. And I don't always hit that, but I remember that, like, that's a good goal. Like, what can I do today to have today be memorable? And then the other thing I heard was more cautionary. And that was, and that was that the person speaking, and it was in a 100-pounders meeting, they said that they had no top weight. They only had the number that they had hit so far. And that they were perfect, their disease was perfectly capable of having them sail right past that number. And, you know, it broke through a little bit of denial, because I was pretty much like most other people I know who are, you know, in these rooms and out in the world, that, you know, yeah, no, we hit such and such a number. But we'll never, I'm down from that now, and I'll never go past that again. I'm never going up, you know? And, you know, what I know is, left to my own devices, if I do not have structure and like a fair amount of not obsession, but honesty and awareness about what I am eating, when I am eating, and how much I am eating, and what substances I do and do not eat in that period of time, in those periods of time, that I will always accidentally gain weight. I will never, or it has not in my lifetime been a thing for me to accidentally lose weight. You know, there was one week in my life where I was a movie theater manager, and we had a blockbuster that was unexpected, and I worked twice the hours, And I lost weight that 1 week. Not a ton, but like, okay, that happened once. That's 1 week out of however many weeks exist in, you know, over 50 years of compulsive eating. I'm 63 years old. I'll give myself a few years where I was building up to it, but it was, you know, like my disease is if I lose focus, I gain weight. Even in abstinence, if I lose focus, I gain weight. So, you know, when I came in, I was miserable and unhappy. And, you know, I had been in the year before and I had tried a few things and kind of tried not to do some of the things. And I remember my first abstinence was that I would like not eat sugar except once a week. And I would not drink alcohol except, was it once a month? And the main thing I remember was I kept resetting when the weeks and the months started. Hmm. And, you know, that just told me something. So that when I came back, I got honest about that. And I also realized that when I came back, I had not gone to, I had not done what I was told to do. So when I came back in, I went to 90 meetings. In fact, I went to about 110 meetings in 90 days. I had a low level job and no life. And so I went to, you know, one, two or three meetings a day for 3 months. And then after that, I went to 3 to 5 meetings a week for several additional years. And then I started having children. Things got a little dicey about exactly how many meetings I could make in any given week or any given month when you have 5 children who are under 9 years old. And the minute you move outside the house, you've got a 2-year-old on your leg screaming as if you're killing them. It's just, there are some things. And from that, I learned that I am always in program rewarded for the amount of effort I put into my program. So when I got to one meeting, you know, 19, 20 years ago, when I had super little people, that was like, you know, I don't know if it counted triple or whatever, but that was amazing. And it took a lot of work on my part to even get to that one meeting, whether it was one a week or two, thank you, or two a week, you know, that mattered. And then when everybody went off and went to school, well, it helped that there was a pandemic, so I can now get to meeting very easily. I heard someone recently say that, you know, there's that old story about, you know, the optimist sees a room full of excrement and starts digging because there's a pony. There must be a pony in here somewhere. And that, Zoom meetings are the pony of the pandemic. So I liked that a lot. But, you know, I am just so grateful that I continue to work this program and was talking to a sponsee this morning. And just, you know, she was like, you know, I don't know if I'm doing them any good. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, with sponsees, you say the same thing. You say, oh, huh, you're having trouble. Have you been, how many meetings have you gone to? Have you reached out to anybody else? How's your food? You know, and there are other things. Those were just the first three, like that my sponsor immediately said, I also asked, have you been writing? You know, I'm like, yep, there's lots of them. So lots of little things make for big changes. And I'm just so grateful to be allowed to keep coming back and, allow the change to continue happening. So thank you very much.